Reading from the scriptures in Psalm 128. The whole of this psalm is our text for this morning that we consider. Psalm 128, reading from verse 1. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labour of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. Amen. Thus far we read in God's perfect and inspired word. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we consider this psalm, Psalm 128, that has been called, along with the psalm before it, 127, a family psalm. It was also called, this psalm by Martin Luther, a wedding song for Christians. It speaks of blessing, very rich blessing on the family unit. And that's certainly what we desire, isn't it? We as God's people, as we've seen the Foley family up here this morning, we desire a rich blessing upon them as a family. But we desire that upon every family in the church. And not only that, but we desire that rich blessing on the family of God. The whole of the family of God, united as it is, as one, in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's significant that this psalm is designated as one of the songs of degrees or songs of ascent. You notice that perhaps in your Bible at the top of it, it has a heading that might read a song of degrees or perhaps a song of ascent. And the idea of this is that this is one of the psalms, there's a whole group of them, that the people of Israel used to sing in the Old Testament three times a year when they went up to Jerusalem. Three times in a year they were to go up to Jerusalem for a period of time and worship God. And therefore they knew that they were coming before God, and in all the ceremonies and rites of the temple they would have the beauty of salvation set before them. And they sang these psalms as they went up, sang them together as families as they went up to worship the Lord. But the question arises for our families, if we desire this rich blessing upon our families, how? How is it that we can know such a peace and rich blessing for husbands and for wives, for parents, for children as we live together in our family homes? This question becomes far more focused, doesn't it, at the time of a baptism. Here is a little one, Elena, who is born into a covenant Christian home to parents who desire to live unto Christ and desire to have this daughter of theirs grow up likewise to know and love God and have salvation in Jesus. How will this be done? Do we just hope? Or perhaps we might say, do we just pray and somehow it's going to happen? No, this psalm actually presents to us most beautiful pictures that we can take up and apply practically in our Christian life. The promises of God and the practical pathway of the just, those who are the Lord's, that shines more and more unto a perfect day. Let's then take up this psalm, and we're going to particularly emphasize that little phrase about children being like olive plants. Therefore, take the theme for this psalm as thy children like olive plants. Under that, we'll consider three things. Let's look at the blessedness of this. Secondly, let's look at the means or the way that we enter into that blessedness. And thirdly, the grace that is set forth here. Thy children like olive plants. Now, Psalm says here in verse 1, blessed is everyone that fears the Lord. Start with that word, blessed. That word is a word that means to go on straight. It has the idea of going on a journey and you've got a destination in mind, but it means going on straight in a good way. But not only that, but being glad in that and being blessed in that, going forward in a good way. What's the essence of that blessedness? Well, it actually tells us straight away, doesn't it, in the psalm. It says in verse 1, blessed is everyone that fears the Lord. Verse 2, for or because you shall eat of the labor of your hands. Okay, you shall eat of the labor of your hands. It's in the way of eating from the labor of our hands that we will be happy, it says. And by the way, when it says in verse 2, happy, that actually is exactly the same word as verse 1 saying blessed. So it's blessed or happy is exactly the same word there. God teaches us, therefore, that we are to be laboring on life's journey. Life's journey is not meant to be kicking back on your, you know, lounge chair beside the pool with a cool drink. That's not what life is about. Life is actually about laboring. And even as we read in Ephesians 6, it's about putting on the armor of God and being involved in the fight of faith. That's really what the scripture teaches us. And out of that, we will reap the blessings of our labor. What are we to understand by this? Well, remember in those days it was an agricultural society. So everybody had their own piece of land and they used to till the land and plant their crops. So if you take it in a narrow sense, it has the idea of that. If a man labors to till his fields and plant his crop, then he will eat, literally, the fruit of his labors. He gathers in the crop and eats it, and he puts food on his family's table. But there's much more to it than this. It's not just saying you're going to get food out of your work. It's talking spiritually here. There's a calling involved here. And that calling is this for the Christian. You are to be involved in a spiritual labor. A spiritual work. And this word means literally to toil, to work very hard spiritually. We are in this life to work hard in all sorts of ways, aren't we? So a Christian with a work ethic will know you're to work very hard for your boss. You know that we're to labor in our incomes in order to bring in that for our families. We are to labor, and it's sometimes for parents. That means 24 hours a day of laboring hard to care for your children. We're to work hard to be of use in our community. All of those things involve a work and a labor. But here, this particular labor that it's speaking about here is one that's directly related to fearing the Lord and walking in his ways. That's the labor we're called to here. Let's look at this illustration. Let's look a little deeper. When it says, you shall eat of the labor of your hands. Imagine with me, here you have this agricultural society, and you've got on the one hand, say on the left side here, you've got this one man. And this man is lazy. He doesn't want to work. He doesn't want to go out there in the hot sun and plough up his fields and to plant the grain and to hoe out the weeds and irrigate as necessary and then the final work of reaping and bringing in the crop. He doesn't want to do all that work, and he doesn't do all that work. What happens at the end of the season? What does that man have when it comes to the end of the season? Nothing. He has no food to eat. He has no food to put on his table. No food to put before his children. Because he hasn't labored. On the other hand, say on our right side, we have another man. And that man who is diligent. He is busy, he's striving, he's toiling, sweat and tears put into things every single day in his field. And as God wills, at the end of the season, he has a harvest. He has food that comes in and he stocks up his pantry and he's got food to last for quite a while to put before his family on the table. I trust you can already begin to see the application spiritually. Apply that. On the one hand, here is a man who perhaps pays little attention to his Bible. Yeah, he's got a Bible that sits at home on his shelf or on his bedside table, or he's got a Bible on his phone, but hardly ever looks at it. He's a man who, well, he manages to get to church most of the time, but when he gets there, he's sort of pretty tired from the late night footy match, and he sort of sleeps through most of the sermon. Here's a man who doesn't bother with family worship. He's got too many other things that he's too busy with, so there's no sort of putting the hard effort into family worship and teaching and training his children and teaching them their catechisms and so forth. He doesn't do that. in the rising up and the lying down and the going in and the coming out. He doesn't speak of the things of the Lord and think about how he can apply the gospel in their lives. He doesn't do any of those things. Well, what would be the spiritual harvest? Can you see the point? Get to the end of the season of life. And what food is provided? What nourishment is there spiritually? There's going to be starvation in that family. There's going to be a spiritual wasteland in such a family. Brethren, do you see what God is laying out before us here? Dave and Mia, do you hear? Do you see what God lays before you as he lays before all Christian parents? As you labour in the raising and the nurturing of Elena, there will be labour. And there has already been labour, I know, in your family. It's the reason why your family is well provided for you and you care in your home. But if it is that we will eat of the labour of our hands and reap what we sow, then we ought to be asking ourselves, how am I going spiritually? Is the toil and the labour and the striving spiritually going on every day in my home? In fact, is that the most important thing to me as I raise my children? Could it be that perhaps I am somewhat bereft of spiritual blessings, despite the fact that I come to church regularly and I own a Bible and so on, and I'm really busy in lots of other ways, but this part of my life I'm neglecting, and there's a pretty sparse reaping that's coming in? Our psalm encourages us. Blessed is everyone that fears the Lord, walks in his ways, for you shall eat of the labour of your hands. Happy you shall be, and it shall be well with you. But our psalm speaks more about this person, the one who eats the labour of his hands and is happy and it's well with him. We're told that he will have a wife and children. Verse 3. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. We're told that he will have a wife and children, and that this is the usual pattern for the godly man and the godly woman. Now, before we go any further, let me make quite clear here. This is not saying that the man or the woman that God calls to singleness, or indeed perhaps the man and woman that God called together in marriage but doesn't give to them children, that somehow they're not blessed, or that they're not happy, or that there's no good to them. Quite the contrary. That is simply not true. God is pleased to bless his people in many different ways. And the path of the person who's called to be single all their life is still a rich and a full one, and that God can use them to be a wondrous blessing in his church. But God is saying here that generally speaking, he will call most of his people at one time or another to be married. Take note of this connection, though. The godly man will be seeking out a godly wife. He will not be seeking a worldly woman, a woman who's full of just sexual allure and is interested in a secular career and all the rest of it. He will be seeking a woman who loves Jesus Christ. He will be seeking a woman who seeks to humbly serve in her family and the church, who's knowledgeable in the things of God and practical Christian living. That's who he will be looking for. And as he diligently labours to find such a wife, and of course the reverse holds true as well, as a godly woman is seeking to find such a godly husband, then the Lord will indeed give us, to most of his children, a spouse which is according to that seeking. So, husband, wife. But then it tells us about that wife and children here. Notice once again it uses the natural world here of plants and so on. We've just been looking at the labouring in the field. Now it turns to plants again as it looks at wife and children. And quite beautifully. First of all, his wife will be like a fruitful vine by the sides of the house. Literally here, the way in which this is spoken is it's talking about a grapevine that is growing up the inside walls of the house. That's the words that's used here. It's not talking about, you know, like a vine over the top of a house outside. It's actually talking about a vine growing up the insides of the walls of the house. And it's not saying that the husband drives his wife up the wall, okay? That's not what it's saying, right? It means that the wife has a fulsome growth in the house. And that she is the one that makes the house to be beautiful and abounding in good things. That's the idea here. Titus 2 verses 4 and 5 says that the young women are to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good and obedient to their own husbands. That's the beauty of a godly woman. And then the children. It speaks about them being like olive plants about the table. Literally, this is olive slips. Do you know what an olive slip is? To propagate olives, what you do is you actually take the tender shoots of the olive and you can cut them off and take them and you can plant them into special growing media. And it takes about 6 months or so, but they will begin to sprout and grow, and you grow new olive trees, which eventually, with tender, nurtured care and protection, they can then be planted out and become productive olive trees themselves. You can see the picture of children, can't you? Our children, God has been pleased to give from ourselves. From the olive tree come the olive slips. Olive slips transplanted by God into our lives. There's a significance here. Just the same as in those days, grapevines and grapes and the wine that came from it were counted as something rich and a wonderful blessing, so it was with olives. Olives were counted as something that was very precious and produced the richness of olive oil, which was used in so many ways for food and medicinally and so forth. But as well as that, olive oil was very commonly used in the Old Testament ceremonies, and it pictured the Holy Spirit. And so what is used here in this psalm ought to bring to mind all of those connections there as well. This is how we are to view our children given by God as olive slips into our families, a rich blessing. And we treat them as those who are holy unto the Lord, as 1 Corinthians 7 verse 14 says. The man, therefore, and this can be applied in the other way to the wife as well, but the primary responsibility is the man's. He is to be diligently labouring every day in this spiritual field of his family to love and nurture and encourage his wife and to carefully tend to these olive slips entrusted to his care. So what's the means? What's the means? How will he bring this about? Notice that these verses that we've just been looking at, verses 2 and 3 particularly, that they're framed, all right, or bookended, if you like, by verses 1 and 4. What do we read there in 1 and 4? Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. And again in verse 4, behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. It's repeated to us, so you can't miss it. And here is therefore the first means, to fear the Lord. What is that? What does it mean to fear the Lord? When we use the word fear, what we usually mean is, you know, sort of, you know, biting your nails and scared and wanting to run away. That's not the idea in the scripture. The idea of the fear of the Lord is to stand before God and have a holy awe and reverence, to stand in amazement before who God is. As the creator of all things, the one who holds everything in his hands, the one who to whom all glory is due. But in addition to that, it's not just that holy awe and reverence of God, but it is also a loving adoration. It is to stand before God and to love God with all our heart, mind, soul and strength as a most wondrous God, who has saved us out of sin and brought us into his marvelous light and life. This is the fear of God. the only possibility of blessedness, of this walking in that good way toward the goal, of actually, therefore, labouring in this way and eating the fruit of our hands, is actually to have that true fear of God, which only comes about through a true faith in Jesus Christ. It comes about through casting ourselves on the Saviour that God has given, Jesus Christ, the one who cleanses us from our sins and brings us and repairs that relationship with God, reconciles us back to Him, so that we stand before Him in a loving awe and we are right with Him and we have Christ's righteousness. But of course, this here, this having a faith in Jesus Christ and a fear of the Lord, doesn't just mean we say these things just as words. Because if all of our life is just words, then it doesn't mean anything much at all. It means that we, first of all, embrace the Lord's Word. If we have an holy adoration and a love of God, then we're going to also love everything that God says. If He is the all in all, then this book is the book for us. And we will love every part of it. This will be what the man who fears the Lord and is blessed in these ways, this is what will be his enduring study and the love of his life, because here he learns more and more about God and about his Saviour. He will embrace all of these truths. He will want to know these truths. He will want to study these truths. And that will be the food that he will have to give to his family. He will bring this forth before his vine and his olive slips. And it's vital, of course, that the olive plants in the home, that they can't just be plonked in the ground out in the weather, can they? They're protected, they're carefully nourished and nurtured, and the food that they receive will be through mum and dad carefully taking in that beautiful truth of the Scripture and feeding it to these little olive slips as they are able to receive it. But there's even more. Notice that verse 1 says, blessed is everyone that fears the Lord or Jehovah and walks in his ways. Okay, and this is where that expression, you know, not just talk the talk, but walk the walk. The Scripture brings that out in so many ways, doesn't it? James says, faith without works is dead. If you say, oh yes, I know all of these truths and I can spout them all off and so on, but you don't live it in your life, that's dead, that's worthless. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 13, when he's talking about love, he says, you know, if it is that I can speak with the tongues of men and angels and I have the gift of prophecy and I understand all knowledge and I give all my goods to feed the poor, he says, you can do all of that, but if you don't have love, that is the practical application of the truth to your life, then you're nothing and you're worth nothing. We actually need to walk in his ways so that every truth out of here makes a difference to how we live and how we apply it in our life. Vitally important for those little olive slips as they're growing up in our family home to actually see us walk the walk. Do you know, we can actually turn it into a negative if our children come along to church and they hear these truths that are spoken in the church, and then they go home, and mum and dad, they speak the same things with their lips, but then little children, looking carefully, they say, but mum and dad don't actually live like that. And so then we teach our children, this is all just a bit of a sham, okay? You can live like a hypocrite, and those things are not all that important. How important that our children actually see us walking in the ways of the Lord. They see us truly loving the Word of God, spending time in it. That when we talk of it, we don't just talk about it in a sort of a dull voice, but we actually have an enthusiasm that's born out of our heart for the things of God and for our Savior, that we actually love Him. That we actually then demonstrate the truth of the Scripture, that we are sinners, and we confess that even before our children, and we say, oh, look, Dad did wrong. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And the grace of Christ is right there on the foreground in the whole of the way in which we deal with our children. Brethren, we need to be laboring hard. This is the toil. that we not only know the truth of Christ and His Word, but we love that truth and we daily apply it in our lives so that our children see and they know and they live that life also. Practically, that will mean that we will love the worship services of God. We will really sing Psalm 122 and say, I joyed when they said to me, let's go up to the house of God. And we will be there in the worship and say, our God that I have a loving adoration for, I delight to be before Him and worship Him. It's the delight of my heart. We will make family worship central, and we will be, as parents, looking excited to be a part of that worship and to seek God together. That we will be practically teaching them. We will discipline our children also. We will show them that there are consequences for evils like whinging and complaining and disobedience. And that points to the truth that there are consequences for all of us in eternity before God if we rebel against Him. But we point them then to the grace of Christ, the forgiveness that's found in Him. All of these things, we live before them. We raise them as the Lord's children. Psalm 92, verse 13 says, those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. We remind our children, they're olive slips. They've been planted into the house of God. They belong, body and soul, to Jesus Christ, and therefore they are to believe in Him, love Him, and serve Him. Let's finally examine the grace. The grace that is found here in Psalm 128. Now, that may not be all that clear. May not be all that plain to you. But there's something significant about the word blessed or blessed in our text. Notice that it's used in verses 1 and 2. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. And as I mentioned, it says, happy thou shalt be. That's the same word. Blessed thou shalt be. But then it's also found again in verses 4 and 5. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord, and the Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. Now, in the English, you don't see any difference. All right, but in the original Hebrew, these are two different words. The word that's in verses 1 and 2 is different to the word that's found in verses 4 and 5. In verses 1 and 2, it's a word, as I've already said, that means to go straight on. To have a gladness and a joy in travelling on to the destination to which we are going. But in verses 4 and 5, it actually means to have something good that is bestowed, given to you from a superior to an inferior. Something that is given to you. And here you see the beauty of what God is saying. Though we are called, indeed, to labour and to go straight on in this way and use the means of God's truth and to walk in godly ways. Now we see what God says here is it's all of grace. It's all of that powerful grace, that undeserved favour and that mighty transforming power that God works in us. It says, thus shall a man be blessed. Thus shall a man receive of this wonderful gift of God. The gracious bestowal of everything that is necessary to live in that covenant life with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only of God's grace, that grace to begin with, that gives the gift of faith so that we believe. That He makes us alive from the dead and we can hear and see and believe through His wonderful truth. It's only His grace that enables us to trust. It's only the powerful work strengthening us that makes us willing and able to walk in the ways that He calls us to. All that we have been speaking of is that grace, is that blessing, the bestowal of God upon His people. It comes through faith, through the fear of the Lord. And notice too that it's brought about through His church. The Lord shall bless you. Where? Out of Zion. Zion, Jerusalem, as I've already mentioned, it refers to the church. The Lord shall bless you out of His church, out of Zion. This is where Christ is pleased to dwell. And this is where covenant families will be blessed in the truth of the gospel. Jesus Christ is pleased to administer His word preached in the church. He's pleased to administer His sacraments, as we've seen this morning, in the midst of the church, that rich blessing. Here he is pleased to give godly government and leadership that is pleased to walk beside people and help them and encourage them in the truth. There he is pleased to bless us with fellowship and us admonishing one another as we travel along the road to glory. All of these things in Zion. And it's by this means also that God blesses the whole of his church. Notice that too. If we want to see, in fact, the flourishing of the whole of the church, then we don't sit back and say, well, we've got to have a great pastor. Forget about that, and certainly don't look here. It's not that we need somehow marvelous elders that'll do all the right things. God says this is the blessing of Jerusalem. As ordinary men and women fear the Lord and walk in his ways, then you will see the blessing of Jerusalem. That's when you will see the blessing of Jerusalem all the days of your life. As the families and the individuals of the church know these truths and these blessings, and they believe and they labor in these ways, the church is made strong and experiences good and is blessed. If we would see a strong and a vibrant church, then it begins with us as individuals and as families in our love of the Lord Jesus Christ and walking in his ways. Especially, it lies with the heads of families as they are strong in the knowledge and the love of the truth and living godly lives. And that's why we constantly seek him. Applies for the heads of families, but applies for every one of us. Which one of us can say, oh yes, I'm strong and able to do these things? We can't. We simply can't. We need the grace of God every single day. And we cry out to him and we seek him. And we're nourished by him and strengthened in that wonderful gospel so that every day we are thankful for the salvation that we have. And every day we are able to stand up again, forgetting the things that are behind, press on toward the high mark of the calling in Christ Jesus. And in these ways, we'll more and more see the blessing of Jehovah. Notice that. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. To see our children's children, it doesn't just mean you'll see your grandchildren. It means you'll see them in the Lord. You will see them rising up to also have a faith in him and to love him and serve him in the church, in through this way. The passing on of the baton of faith, as we sang about in Psalm 78. And in that way, we'll also see peace on Israel. Peace on Israel because of a true faith, a living faith that walks in the Lord's ways and loves that truth and teaches the next generation rising up about this same wonderful gospel. We also know of peace because of faithful living. The olive slips, such as Elena, planted in our homes, grow up knowing and living out of the gospel. A truth lived in real and practical ways that brings about a peace. If we live the gospel, then there will be a peace in our midst. May our Lord, Jehovah God, may you be pleased to bless the understanding of this to our hearts this morning, to really lay hold upon these things, to see the wonderful promises of God in this way, the realities that are centered in and based in Jesus Christ, so that we may gladly go straight on, laboring with our hands, knowing of a blessing in the church through faithful godly living by the grace of God, and that our olive plants, our little children, may flourish in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand to pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we see these lovely pictures laid out for us in the Scripture so that we are able to imagine those homes and that life, that agricultural life. We can see the labouring and the toiling in the field. We see the grapevine growing up on the inside of the house. We see the little olive slips around the table. We pray that we may take to heart all that you have given to us this morning, and that we may delight to be laboring in the ways of the Lord, to walk in his ways, to have a holy adoration and awe and love of you, our God, and all that you have given to us in Jesus Christ. Bless us in our families, and bless particularly this day the Foley family and little Elena in her baptism. We pray it in Christ Jesus. Amen.